540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Ford has temporarily laid off 600 non-striking workers at its plant in Michigan, and GM could do the same in Kansas City next week as thousands hit the picket lines in three states. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders showed his support for strikers today in Detroit.
Despite all of that wealth, brothers and sisters, and you know this well, 60% of our people a living paycheck to paycheck.
Sean Malone's with KMOX in St. Louis.
Auto workers at the General Motors Assembly Center in Wentzville, Missouri are in their first day of striking, but how long do they anticipate the strike will last?
No idea. The last one we did in 2019 went 6 weeks. So we'll prepare for that and hope it's shorter.
Workers are fighting for better pay and benefits. Out west, thousands of healthcare workers could be next to hit the picket lines. CBS's Deborah Rodriguez.
Nearly 64,000 Kaiser Permanente healthcare workers in California, Oregon, and Washington State have authorized a strike if they don't have a new contract by September 30th. Nurses, support staff, and other employees are demanding better pay and more staffing. The union wants a four-year contract with increases of 7% the first 2 years and 6.25% in the third and fourth.
New England is bracing for Hurricane Lee. Don Brantley's with Emergency Management in Massachusetts.
Have your emergency kit ready and easily accessible should you need any supplies like food, water, flashlight, radio. And if you have consumable medical supplies or durable equipment battery needs, please include those in your emergency kit.
Floods and power outages are also expected in Maine and Rhode Island. The Pentagon's ordered interviews with more service members attacked by suicide bombers during the U.S.'s withdrawal from Afghanistan. Here's CBS's David Martin.
The order to interview more witnesses comes as a result of congressional testimony claiming the Marines had a chance to stop the suicide bomber before he set off the blast, which killed 13 Americans and 170 Afghans.
At the White House, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre was asked whether President Biden would pardon his son, Hunter.
Would the president pardon or commute his son if he's convicted?
So I've answered this question before. It was asked of me not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, and I was very clear, and I said no.
Hunter was indicted yesterday over an illegal gun purchase. Vice President Kamala Harris kicked off a cross-country college tour today at Hampton University in Virginia. President Biden won the youth vote back in 2020, but support has been lagging heading into 2024. Former President Trump was at Iowa State University last weekend. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The city of Waukesha is delaying the start of Lake Michigan water delivery to homes until October 9th. That's due to additional preparations that are required. The transition shifts the supply from underground water wells that don't meet radium standards and replaces it with Lake Michigan water supplied by Milwaukee. Officials say the delay is necessary to conduct tests, flush reservoirs, and address programming issues with water pumps. The transition, once it happens, will take several weeks and may result in temporary water discoloration in some areas. A postal truck was stolen during an armed robbery yesterday in Milwaukee. A 53-year-old postal worker involved was not injured during the incident. The stolen mail truck was taken at around 5:30 and was found about 2.5 hours later, about 4 miles away. There, a 37-year-old was arrested. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee.
From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
I'm not Maggie Dawn. I'm Mike Crute, and I got a fine guest right from the top because I can only aspire to be smart and legalistic like Maggie Dawn. So I got to bring on a smart guest, a lawyer by trade, Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Mark Thompson, and he's also the host of his own fine program. You're going to want to stick around. Mark's Paul Revere show happens right here on the Civic Media Network starting at 7. Mark Thompson, welcome to the Maggie Dawn show, man. Suffer through with Crudy. How you doing, Mark?
Good evening, Mr. Crute. It's great to see you. It's always a privilege and honor to join you on any show that you have on Civic Media.
Well, Mark, it's troubling times, and these continue to be troubling times here in the state of Wisconsin. Let's jump right into it, sir. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf is kind of in a professional fight for her life, and the Senate, through their elections committee, has apparently taken up her nomination, even though it was not offered by the elections commissioners. So, Mark, let's start. Let's set the stage. She shouldn't really be before the Senate at this point, yet they've taken her up. Why not? What is the legal theory behind the abstaining from voting on the Democratic members' part?
If I may, can I go back to 2016 and just put this Absolutely. In some historical perspective? In 2016, the Wisconsin Elections Commission was created. I want folks to remember that the Republicans voted to abolish the governmental accounting board that was essentially retired judges, nonpartisan, that were running elections and ethics in the state. And when they started asking questions about money and where the Republicans were getting their money, what they were doing with their money, the Republicans abolished that entity and created a bipartisan elections commission made up of 3 Democrats and 3 Republicans, a little more complicated. At the time when we were originally created, we voted 6-0 to nominate Michael Haas, who was well respected around the country and in the state as a person committed to public service and nonpartisan issues, and an expert on elections to be our first administrator.
And he had had a prior role, Mark. If I recall, Mike Haas had been with the Government Accountability Board. So his crime was what? His prior employer.
Right. The far right Republicans put him on a hit list because he was the assistant to Mr. Kennedy at the time. The key question, though, was there was six officials that voted. three Republicans, three Democrats, we all thought Michael Haass was the most qualified person to do it. It went to the Senate, and the Senate didn't confirm him. It came back to us, and we voted 4-2. Bev Gill was a Republican that was so angry that her party was willing to attack Michael Haass personally and ruin his career personally because of a political agenda. She would have nothing to do with it. And her guts allowed us at that time then to sit down and cut a deal with the Senate. And Jody Jensen was on the commission at that time, and we reached an agreement with the Senate that if we nominated Megan Wolf, they would confirm Megan Wolf. And Megan Wolf was confirmed as the administrator. And she has done an exceptional job. She is recognized around the country as one of the leading, smartest, brightest election officials. They look to her all over the country. All the commissioners currently, except Mr. Spindell, but I think the consensus is that there are at least five of us that believe Megan Wolf is the most qualified person to serve as the administrator. So this gets us up to date to your question. The Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled in a case called Prane that a holdover appointee can stay in their office unless there's a vacancy, and that no one can nominate a new person. You'll recall Governor Evers tried to appoint his own appointee, and the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do it, you can't appoint them, because there's no vacancy. Well, under that decision, and the Attorney General, Josh Call, issued a specific legal opinion saying unless there is a vacancy, the Wisconsin Election Commission cannot nominate a new administrator. We could certainly remove the administrator, Megan Wolf, and no one wanted to remove her. She didn't resign. There was no vacancy, so there was no ability to nominate. Now, at the Elections Commission meeting, there was a motion made by one of the Republican commissioners to nominate Megan Wolf. I believe that those votes, at least two of them, to nominate Megan Wolf was based on the assumption that she would be sent to the Senate and the Senate would listen to them and confirm her. My vote, I didn't vote on that. I said there was not a legal, there was not a vacancy, so there was not a legal motion on the table. We did not have the legal ability to nominate anyone because Megan Wolf serves as the administrator, and she's there until she resigns or we fire. But no one on the commission wants to fire her, so she is the administrator.
My fine guest is Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Mark Thompson. He's an attorney by trade. He hosts the Paul Revere Show, and I'm sure he'll talk more on this topic and others. Who do you have tonight? Greta Neubauer, the Assembly Minority Leader. Who's your other guest, Mark?
Tonight we have Deborah Cronmiller, who is the head of the League of Women Voters and the current chairperson of Wisconsin Fair Maps. And we are going to be spending the hour getting their viewpoints on what the issues are facing the state of Wisconsin.
Well, Mark, sorry to interrupt. So back to today's action in the state Senate election committee, there was a 3-1 vote to effectively take up this non-nomination and move it to the full Senate. And three Republicans voted effectively against the nomination, But they are ignoring legal counsel, the legislative legal counsel. They're ignoring the attorney general's legal opinion, and they're moving forward anyways. And Thursday, Mark, the full Senate meets here. And as soon as Thursday, this Senate, regardless of legal standing, could take up this matter and effectively get rid of Megan Wolf. Or that is at least what we could see a vote on. And then what happens, Mark, because we're at a constitutional crisis, because it doesn't seem as if the commissioner, Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator, plans on vacating her position anytime soon.
Well, I don't know whether we would be at a constitutional crisis on this issue. I think Josh Call, the attorney general, has been very clear that there has not been a legal nomination of a new administrator from the Wisconsin Elections Commission, because the statutes specifically require 4 votes from the commission to send a nomination to the Senate. And there were not 4 votes to send the nomination to the Senate. There is no legal nomination. So to the extent the Shared Revenue and Elections and Consumer Protection Committee, chaired by Dan Knodel, whatever they did today, I think is legally, courts will construe it as a nullity. Whether or not the Senate Majority Leader, Devin LeMahieu, actually puts it on the Senate floor, I don't know. But I don't think there's anything on the floor. And I think it's a exercise in futility. And frankly, you know, I don't know what they're doing, because if they would go talk to the commissioners, they'll tell them that Megan Wolf is the most competent, nonpartisan person to be running elections. And we have major elections coming up in 2024, and this is not the time to change the person running those elections. If you ask the clerks, municipal clerks around the state, they fully support, or, you know, by vast majority fully support Megan Wolf. You know, I look at...
Maybe that's the problem, Mark. No. Maybe they don't want competent administrators in place for next year's election. Have you considered that, sir?
You know, I'd like to believe that... You know, 90% of my fellow citizens and 90% of their elected representatives believe in elections and that we should have competent people running them. I am aware that there are a handful of people that, you know, are operating under this lie that is promoted by former President and now indicted Trump, that he lost, or that Biden lost, and he won the election. Now, Dean Knutson, the Wisconsin Elections Commissioner, a conservative Republican, said out loud at a commission meeting, Donald Trump lost. Donald Trump lost. Fact. Game over. Now, those crazies fired him, but that's where we're at in Wisconsin. We got some crazies that are trying to tell the 90% what to do.
Mark Thompson, our friend, he is a Wisconsin Elections Commissioner. He is an attorney by trade, and he is the host of the Paul Revere Show. And it follows this fine program, the Maggie Dawn Show. Thank you, Mark, for joining me here.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. 57 tonight, under cloudy skies, south winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast again tomorrow. Chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 75. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows around 55. Mainly cloudy. Cooler Sunday and Monday with highs in the upper 60s. Chance for scattered storms Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 72 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am not Maggie Dawn. I am Mike Crude. I'll be filling in for Maggie this week. I'll try to continue to bring you fine guests like Maggie would. Guests like Mark Thompson. He is a Wisconsin Elections Commissioner. He is a host here on the Civic Media Network. He plays out next. And you're going to want to stick around. It's not just the issue of the Megan Wolf and how we're dealing. And when I say we, I mean these Republicans. Senate Elections Committee took up Megan Wolf, despite the fact there's no legal cause for them to do so. And by a 3-1 vote, they're effectively moving it to the full Senate. That could be a vote on Thursday. We've seen a lawsuit filed by Tim Burns. Tim Burns is a former Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate. We didn't even get there with Mark Thompson. Mark Thompson will talk, I suspect, with Greta Neubauer and his other fine panel of guests tonight about the threatened impeachment of Janet Protasiewicz as well. That might be the constitutional crisis. Now, he didn't believe this issue with Megan Wolf is a constitutional crisis. If I understood Commissioner Mark Thompson correctly, he effectively thought that Knodel's action, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, or pardon me, the Senate Election Committee's action today effectively really has zero value. Doesn't have any legal weight. So we'll see. And we'll see if the Senate takes up Megan Wolf, the, again, Wisconsin Election Commission administrator. But I would speculate Republicans don't want competent people in charge. Makes it hard to, let's just say, challenge and overturn elections here in the state of Wisconsin. And our pal, Maggie Dawn, she was on that wall. During the Milwaukee recount, she was on the other side of Jim Troupas. And if you don't know that name, look in some of the indictment stuff, some of the J6 stuff. Jim Troupas was Trump's vessel, one of, here in the state of Wisconsin, to overturn the election. And when we talk about removing the election commissioner administrator, who doesn't even really set the rules of the road, she just takes someone else's lead, you know, these six bipartisan elections commissioners, and one of which is not even very bipartisan, and Bob Spindell, he's kind of on the fake electors list himself, yet continues to serve on Wisconsin's election panel. That's a whole different problem. But there's an opinion piece over at the Journal Sentinel, and I'd like to share it with you. Also like to hear your opinions here on the Maggie Dawn Show tonight. I believe all the phone numbers are all the same, so I know it. 844-967-2789. You know the number as well. 844-967-2789. But the headline here, can the Wisconsin Supreme Court overcome its fractured relations, question mark? No, probably not. Observers fear a point of no return. Jesse Apoyan from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It was April 2017 when the Wisconsin Supreme Court, after a heated debate, rejected an effort to establish a rule requiring justices to step aside from cases involving their biggest financial backers. I think then-Justice Shirley Abrahamson joked as the court wrapped up its debate with the 5-2 vote, "We may need a therapy session, but that's not for me to say." 6 years later, the conservative justices who outnumbered Abrahamson and Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, that's the good Bradley, on the recusal vote have lost what was once an iron grip on the court's ideological majority. And Republican lawmakers are threatening the court's newest liberal justice with impeachment if she doesn't recuse from a case that could benefit her biggest campaign contributor. That's a stretch. The Democratic Party, but anyways, I read on. This time, one former justice worries a therapy session might not be enough to repair the fractures within the court that have only deepened since Justice Janet Protasiewicz was sworn in last month. That's not our fault. Here is a quote. So many harsh, terrible things have been said. It's going to be very hard, I think, for them to sit at a table and be able to find common ground and to be able to compromise on whatever they need to compromise on, said former Justice Jeanine Jeske. There are a lot of layers to this. Somebody's going to have to work through. And I think it's going to be hard for them to be able to do it. I don't know what can be done. Now, Senator Van Wongard from Racine, Republican, recently likened the dynamic of the court to a food fight. Marquette University Law School professor Chad Oldfather called it a mess. Here's another quote. My guess is that the conflict just furthers the sense that's been growing for a while, that there's just political actors, that there's no difference between what they do and what members of the legislature do. And that's a problem because they're not supposed to do the same job. You know, a little separation of the powers, if you will. Now, they had already made the decision that campaign contributions are not enough to force recusal. I keep hearkening back to Prosser. The 2017 vote was far from the first time the court sparred over recusal standards, but it was significant. The court's conservative majority, I guess that was after Prosser, then Chief Justice Patience Rogensack, Justice Rebecca Bradley, that's the bad one, current Justice Annette Ziegler, and former Justices Michael Gableman and Dan Kelly voted to keep in place rules adopted in 2010 that says a judge shall not be required to recuse based solely on an endorsement or campaign contribution. The conservative justices rejected a proposal to establish a campaign contribution threshold that would force a judge or justice off a case involving the donor, arguing it would impede free speech. The question is whether we should tell judges in the state that we don't trust them to determine when they should recuse from a case, said Kelly, whom Protasiewicz defeated by 11 points. If you're doing the math, can't spell Kelly without two L's. I think that's caustic and inappropriate, an unnecessary thing for us to do. Rebecca Bradley said every judge and justice in Wisconsin should be highly.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. President Biden says he's sending White House officials to Detroit to help work on negotiations to end a big auto strike.
The bottom line is that auto workers help create America's middle class. They deserve a contract that sustains them in the middle class.
Storm warnings are in effect for millions in the Northeast today ahead of Hurricane Lee's arrival. Maine's Governor Janet Mills says people should prepare.
Crying out loud, get your boat out of the water or tie it down really, really well and anchor it, moor it. Ensuring that generators that you do have are properly fueled, installed, and in good working order.
Texas senators are deliberating whether State Attorney General Ken Paxton should be removed from office. Reporter Chris Fox.
Paxton's accused of illegally using his office to shield Austin investor and campaign donor Nate Paul from an FBI investigation. Paxton attorney Tony Busby contends there's no evidence to impeach.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. An alderman in Waukesha will serve probation after pleading guilty to charges related to slapping his girlfriend's child, resulting in a visible handprint. The incident took place in February during an argument while Corey Payne was under the influence of alcohol. Payne is still on the Waukesha City Council, but there is uncertainty regarding whether the council will decide to remove him or if voters will pursue a recall. The Cedarburg woman accused of embezzling around $100,000 from a special needs school in Racine has pleaded not guilty. Jimmy Koska has more.
The attorney for Heather Wentel this week requested a change in her bond from $50,000 cash to a $10,000 signature bond. That was initially granted, but later halted by the judge. Wentel remains in jail and is facing multiple charges. Her next court appearance is scheduled for October 30th.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Kreutz. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'll explain it to you again. Maggie's out. She's doing some lawyering. Has a hearing that ran late, and I believe has a conference in D.C. this week. So you're going to hear too much of yours truly. I'm filling in for Maggie Dawn the next couple of days. Mike Crute filling in for Maggie. I'll try to, you know, book smart people so I don't look terribly dumb here in this slot. But I would like to also share some opinions, and we'd love to hear yours. Anastasia lightly screening them at 844-967-2789. Again, Anastasia, you know her, you love her. 844-967-2789. She'll get you on the Maggie Dawn Show. But here's a little editorial shared with me today. Stop the wild threats of impeachment. Let Justice Janet Protasiewicz do her job. Yeah, I concur. Rep Travis Tranel's constituents in Grant County helped elect Janet Protasiewicz to the Wisconsin Supreme Court last spring with 51% of the county's vote. Rep. John Plummer's Assembly District runs through Columbia County, which favored Protasiewicz with 55% of its ballots. Rep. Todd Novak represents most of Lafayette and Iowa counties, which backed Protasiewicz with 59% of their vote. Are these three Republican lawmakers and their conservative colleagues who control the state assembly really going to push into impeachment proceedings against Janet Protasiewicz, seeking to overturn the will of the voters? Question mark. The editorial board at the Wisconsin State Journal says, we sure hope not. If they do, they'll face the wrath of these very same voters for blatantly reversing the voice of the people. Yeah, that's who we the people voted for by an 11% preference. Protasiewicz over Kelly. You knew he was terrible. You knew he was a bad candidate. That's why you tried to run Doro out there. But anyways, let me read on. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican from Rochester, recently threatened to impeach Justice Protasiewicz, an experienced Milwaukee County judge and prosecutor, because she had even heard a single high court case. Voss's intimidating talk of taking her down is wildly irresponsible, undemocratic, and comes off as desperate. Kind of. Little bit desperate, Robin. Gotta mention. Little bit desperate. Elections have consequences, and Protasiewicz just won hers by more than 10 percentage points statewide over former Justice Dan Kelly, whom Voss and other fixtures of the Republican establishment, well, they supported. So did Trump, right? Voss is threatening impeachment if Protasiewicz doesn't recuse herself from a case involving Voss's gerrymandered maps for assembly and Senate voting districts. Voss knows those maps help him keep his GOP majority and stay in power. Well, we know that Voss knows it's not because of the, what's he always say, better candidates and better ideas and rigged maps. That's the big unspoken part. It's the rigged maps, Robin. You know it, and I know it. And so do all the people now. And while the two major parties collected similar numbers of votes statewide in the fall 2022 election, the Republican-controlled legislature nonetheless maintained huge majorities, 64-35 in the Assembly and 21-11 in the Senate. Gerrymandering is the main reason why. Following the 2020 census, Voss and company spent millions of dollars on a team of lawyers, political strategists, sophisticated computer software to draw the lines of legislative districts to his partisan advantage, and then to defend them in court. Yeah, with our taxpayer money. And outside attorneys, of course. Now he's lawyering up again at taxpayer expense to fight still more legal challenges. Now, the Supreme Court's 4-3 conservative majority had pretty much allowed Republicans to reshape districts however they pleased. But Protasiewicz's victory in the April 4th election shifts control of the court, the liberal-leading justices. So Voss, the longest-serving speaker in state history, not because he's good, but because he's gerrymandered, I would point out, is running scared. Liberal groups have already filed two lawsuits challenging Voss's maps, and Protasiewicz could be the deciding vote striking them down. I hope so. We'll see. Now, Voss claims Protasiewicz must recuse herself from any cases involving his maps because she called them unfair and rigged during her recent campaign. We agree. Protasiewicz discussed political issues more than she should have. They agree. I less so. Judicial candidates should strive to be independent arbiters of the law and not to give the impression they are prejudging cases that might come before them. But the gerrymandered legislative maps are indeed unfair and rigged. Protasiewicz shouldn't be impeached for speaking the truth. Truth hurts sometimes, right, Robin? Not if you can impeach a Supreme Court justice and keep it buried. Moreover, she didn't weigh into specifics. In fact, she said less about redistricting cases than any other member of the court. That's because all of the incumbents have had to rule on cases challenging the maps in the past. Nothing is wrong with that. Their jobs as high court justices required it. If Voss is seriously concerned about politics affecting our courts, he should stop threatening judges and instead support clear rules. We're just talking about that, right? Recusal rules, I think they're called. for when justices should leave a case because of a conflict, either real or perceived. Currently, individual justices decide for themselves. Remember? Remember? Robin Voss, who wrote those rules? Your buddies at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and of course, the conservative, often conservative, leading Wisconsin Realtors Association. Big bucks they've thrown. And they got to write their own recusal rules. As big donors before the courts, they got to write the recusal rules for the courts. Do you know how disingenuous this stance seems, Robin Voss? I'm just saying. Anyways, if Voss is seriously concerned about politics affecting our courts, he should stop threatening judges and instead support clear rules for when justices should leave.
Yep, I can hear you. We're going to go live at 45, okay? Give me a second.
Sounds great. We'll be ready.
Thanks, okay. All right, thanks, Anya.
Awesome. Good stuff. Just say that.
And live with your Waukesha South Black Shirts football, here are your hosts, Don and Johnny.
As your Black Shirts take on the number one team in the state, the defending Division II state champion, Kettle Moraine Lasers. Johnny, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you, Don? What a beautiful night for football, huh?
We apologize for the delay. We had some technical difficulties, but we are here now. We didn't see who won or lost the toss, but we'll know momentarily. And, you know, it's for those of you who are Catholic, this is kind of like the Stations of the Cross for Waukesha South football. Final season, the torture in the Classic 8 taking on, again, some of the toughest teams in the state. And once we get through this, we'll be in the Parkland Conference next year, and you're going to see a lot more parity and a much more level playing field for our boys. And but we admire those that are sticking it out. Johnny, in addition to playing the best team in the state, we were playing with quite a few players out with injuries, not season-ending injuries, but enough that it's going to be a light squad tonight. That's good to say the very least.
There's four guys out that are going to make
up. Who are they again, Johnny?
They're going to have an impact. Number two, Adriel Diaz, he's out.
Great athlete, plays both sides of the ball.
Yep, and number 17, Gabriel Lascano.
Another guy plays both sides.
Yep. So
tough kid.
You know, tough kid there. Yep. Number 28, Vincent Malejos.
Mahalos.
I said Capoletti. That wrong the first
Johnny.
time. Yeah.
Vinny Capoletti Mahalos. Yep.
Yeah, you got him.
Took over the tailgate. My neighbor. He's been in this program since fifth grade. He's one of the OGs, John.
Well, he's a lot closer to you than he is to me.
He sure is.
At number 75, Jaden Rivera.
Yep. Jaden Rivera. So, and I know there's probably a few others we may have missed, but it's parent night, and a lot of the freshman players and parents were honored, as well as yours truly and the rest of the varsity players. And so, again, another festive atmosphere, another great night for football. I've been really blessed with the weather. And I'm still in shorts, Johnny. I brought a pair of jeans just in case. And a lot to look forward to. We have this weekend in the community, our Crosstown Rivals North are hosting their band fest on Sunday at Waukesha North, and that's a great great stadium for band competition. Then, of course, South has their March Fest a week from tomorrow, the 23rd. Starts at 4 o'clock, and that is the largest marching band competition in the state. It's one of the oldest in their 33rd year, and it really is quite the spectacle. This place gets completely packed, and volunteers still want it, so be sure to check that out. And, Johnny, Halloween's right around the corner.
Boo.
So my guest on tomorrow's show is Josh Hughes, who heads the Waukesha Ghost Tours. Did you know Waukesha had a paranormal history and a UFO history? And
I do. So, specifically, there's an address there that you and I are both familiar with, and that's 217 Wisconsin
that's
Avenue.
Right.
And it has been
the old NAMI
for a
building.
While.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's also some scuttlebutt that it has some UFO sightings back in the 60s up on top of the roof.
The old Nike missile base was part of that. Yeah.
Right.
So, but Josh is he is a more than a student of the paranormal. He does it semi-professionally and has just a wealth of great knowledge of Waukesha history. And so you should really check out the show. But more importantly, if you're looking for something different to do this Halloween season, Josh still has some open dates for some tours. And so you should really check that out. Check out my show tomorrow morning at 8 to learn more. And then Johnny's going to come. He may pull me out of the show early because we got to drive down to Chicago to North Park University where your hometown Carroll University Pioneers take on the Vikings of North Park, their first conference game of the year. And Pioneers 1-1 after a 51-7 thrashing of Wisconsin Lutheran in the Quick Trip Glazer Bowl.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Hopefully they didn't eat too much Glazer donuts, they'll be in good shape for that game tomorrow. So so really exciting time to be here in Waukesha. And we don't have high expectations for our black shirts tonight. We know we get to watch a top shelf football program looking to defend another state title. And one of my favorite players in football and basketball for any school is number 2 Drew Wagner, son of Waukesha Police Lieutenant Tom Wagner. Great guy. He was our acting police chief after Russell Jack retired and before Daniel Thompson came on. Great guy, great family, and doesn't get any better than Drew Wagner, real leader. And you'll never see a 5'9 kid play basketball the way he does. He does it all in the paint, and he plays as if he's like carrying a football the way he drives the basket. Unbelievable, but it's very similar like that in football. He's your guy when you're in trouble. Gets in space better than a lot of kids, and a very hard guy to bring down.
Yeah, he's fast too, man.
All muscle. Yep.
He's a tough kid to contend with. So he gets a lot of looks from a lot of people.
Sure. And
so he'll have a great career as things go on for him.
Players on the line, both sides. The quarterback. All these guys are Power 5 rated players. A lot of guys looking to play Saturdays at Division 1 level out of this program here at KM. So got a robust coaching staff up here in the booth, which to us is always a telltale sign of how invested a community is in its football program. And so, and KM's really become the standard in recent years.
Boy, I'll say.
Even in the Classic 8, where every team is tough and competitive.
Yeah, yeah.
KM's really, in recent years, has brought it to the next level.
Something that really sticks out to me, Don, I'm an offensive line guy.
Yeah.
I like to pay attention to what's going on.
As
you take those three guys right there,
yeah,
that's 900 pounds of some
Is that the D-line or that's the O-line? Yeah, one guy plays
O-line
both ways, too. Yeah,
yeah, so,
yep.
They're a tough bunch to try to manhandle, quite frankly, because they're going to do that to you. They're going to tell you what they're going to do, and they're going to do it, and they're just going to bull right at you.
Johnny, I'm showing my age here, but you look at those lines. It reminds me of my high school football team 10 years before I graduated. The front line consisted of Craig Wolfley, who was an All-American at Syracuse and played for the Steelers in the post-Steel Curtain era as a starter. Another guy was Jim Burt, who was the inventor of the Gatorade shower, nose tackle, won a Super Bowl at the Giants, played University of Miami. And the third guy was a guy named Larry Fole, dropped out of Miami. He was with the Packers for a minute before he got cut, played in the CFL. But you know him better as pro wrestler Lex Luger.
Nice.
That was my front three in my high school, offense, defense. They were 5-0, and they had to forfeit the last three games because of a teacher strike. So I doubt you're going to have any teacher strikes at KM. So they got a much more promising future than my mighty Quakers did back in 75. So
I always thought putting together kind of an all-star wrestling thing with Fancy Brian and maybe Michael Gableman in the ring together and just let the two guys go at it. Maybe, you know, get a couple other guys in there, maybe Crudy and Robin Voss or something like that.
Fancy Brian's also an actor, so I could see him doing some wrestling movies or football movies.
He's probably got some great moves, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
it's too bad they should have cast him for the remake of The Longest Yard, you know.
Right.
He could have been that Lurch character. I think he broke his effing neck, you know. That'd have been Fancy Brian right there. So.
And he would have pulled it off with aces, man. He would have done a great job. Yeah.
Fortunately for us, Brian's giving us his technological expertise to help us modernize, upgrade our systems statewide in the civil media empire, and also here with our WUK radio, and hence some of the snags we had earlier, some of the growing pains with our growing network and our growing infrastructure. So I see Evan Marks from last year's team walking in, speaking of Achilles injuries, and his mom Chris and his dad Peter. And maybe Chris will come up halftime, give us another plug for Marchfest going on a week from tomorrow. So mark that on your calendars, everybody. So, boy, we really lucked out with the weather. We see the KM team gathering together. Our black shirts will make their way out of their locker room momentarily. How are we doing on time here? Yeah, it's like 9 minutes before kickoff, so we will be commencing with the national anthem. But also, Anya, if you don't mind, let's take a moment to do station identification here on the Black Shirt Football Radio Network, brought to you by Mia's. Anya, take it away.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
If you've been searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
Welcome back. Here are your hosts, Don and Johnny.
Hey, Anya. Thanks. Welcome back to Ken Hall Stadium here on the Blackshirt Football Radio Network. Don Brown, downtown Donnie Brown with Johnny Watermelon. We are watching the Blackshirt Marching Band take the field, so I imagine any moment the national anthem will start. Stands are starting to fill in. Student section has a country western theme going on. I see a lot of cowboy hats and flannel and maybe even some denim and cowboy boots over there, so I like to see that. And they're playing Dream On by Aerosmith, which is a very appropriate theme for tonight's game as our black shirts do battle against the number one team in the state, the dreaded Lasers of Kettle Moraine. So, Johnny, if we can sneak this in before the national anthem, what are your keys for the black shirts to be competitive in this game?
Well, I'll tell you, it's like we always talk about, you know, and it's going to be a tough bill to take care of tonight because you got to run the ball and you got to stop the run.
To win, you got to run and stop the run, yep.
You know, it's just going to be a tough order to fill here.
It sure
for the
is.
Black shirts. And the other discrepancy here, too, is these guys are going to reload in terms of KM. You know, they got 53 guys, you know, suited up. And, you know, the black shirts, they got 37. So there's the teeter-totter's slanted in one way here, dude.
It's like you said, if Whitewater ever has a non-conference game against, like, a Big Ten team like Michigan or Wisconsin or Ohio State behind you.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
That's kind of what we've been up against these last 20 years. And so
let's hope we have a fun, safe night and hope we see some little pizzazz here.
And I think we got a new starter. Ben Jimenez is QB1 now for the Blackshirts, and
there.
So a fresh perspective. And I think Blackshirts just got to play within themselves, take what the defense gives you, make quick plays. You know, again, you showed the size of the KM line. And, I don't think we can't get really cute with the plays. Just bread and butter, nickel and dime. And, keep that highly proficient laser offense off the sideline if you can.
Yeah, as best you can.
The best you can, yeah.
Right.
So, and that's what I like to see, some sustained drives.
Yeah, me too.
So,
we'll see.
So, and they're about to announce the black shirts coming onto the field here. They're coming in from the southwest entrance out of their locker room. They introduce Kettle Moraine. Now the Lasers. Lasers are in their gold pants, white jersey with navy font and gold trim, and navy stripes on the shoulder. White helmets with the KM logotype. And here come the black shirts running their way out. And here come your shirts. And it looks like Logan Tank Dable gets the honor of carrying the South flag. Black shirts are in red pants, black jersey, red fonts, no trim, and the black helmets with the black shirt, red bird on the helmet. So, and a great, got the fight song going by marching band, sounding good. So black shirts look fired up, if anything else. So, and got a good look here at Ben Jimenez. They announce the coaches. So we're going to announce the starting. We're going to do the national anthem. So at this time, we'll take a quick break here on the Black Shirt Football Radio Network. Anya, take it away.
Searching for authentic, made-from-scratch American Italian cuisine, visit Mia's of Waukesha. Mia's skilled chefs craft every dish with freshness and love, bringing you the true essence and flavor of American Italian classics. Open daily Wednesday through Sunday at 800 Clinton Street in Waukesha. Walk in or call to reserve a table. 262-547-6503. That's 262-547-6503. Or log on miasofwaukesha.com.
Okay, we're back. Love it. All right, are you texting Anna? Or you just call her?
Welcome back. Here are your hosts, Don and Johnny.
Okay.
Thank you, Anya.
Thanks so much, Anya. Don Brown here with Johnny Watermelon here on Parents' Night. And it was my honor as Evan Stout's father, along with my wife, Melissa, president of the Boosters, to stand aside our son, our senior, and the rest of the team and parents. It's been a long journey. Certainly had its ups and downs. But we're really grateful because football's created some great opportunities for our son, including a really exciting collegiate career, which will most likely be at UW-Eau Claire next year, and we couldn't be happier. And one of Evan's best games last year was against KM. He had a touchdown and an interception, and that one clip
game
on the huddle, getting an interception on a Power 5 quarterback against Drew Wagner, that was something that I'm very proud of, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a great, for the first half, that was a football game. Our guys battled well against an excellent team. And
you know, it was, Don. Yeah, the first half looked like it was going to be kind of competitive through the whole thing.
So,
and then,
Johnny, it looks like we won the toss. We've deferred to the second half. There's three guys back to receive for the Lasers. I got Dylan Ports, number three, Noah Haight. And is that a number 19 I see back there?
That is number 19.
Tanik Wankowski. So, and Christopher Lemoose kicking off for the Black Shirts. I've been calling them Lemus all this time, Johnny. It's Lemoose.
We hear some SpongeBob from the KM student section. And an onside kick. Boy, better pick it up. Tackle him. So an onside kick. Not only it was shanked. How do you shank an onside kick? But he must have kicked the tee because – But we just stood there, and
that one did not go by design.
A lineman named Dane Baker almost went yard with that. He picked it up, and luckily we got him down. So not a great start for our black shirts here.
Blazers got excellent field position.
They sure do. Yeah, 35-yard line of the black shirts. So
that's just what you need.
Just like in baseball, got to keep your eye on the ball when you're making contact. And
I think it was a good kind of.